in the Spirit,
by the Spirit.
This is an addendum just add to what we have taught before. So on Wednesday, we started looking at this subject. Verse 20, let's start from 18. For as God is true, our word towards you was not yes and no, or yea and nay, better. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. All the promises of God in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which established us with you in Christ and has anointed us, God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Again, Romans 15 and then verse 8. Romans 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Verse 9. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, for truly for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. So we saw that word promise or promises Wednesday. Word epagelia, which means to announce a commitment, to announce a pledge. We said the word agelos, A-G-E-L-O-S or E-L-L-O-S, we mean to say out or to give out a message. And again, we zeroed in on the word epagelia to mean, it's not a plural, we said, that is singular, that is something promised, an action promised, a gift promised, or an event that was promised. Then we zeroed in down, this is the Old Testament, that's where you have the promised actions of God, or the promise of God. Now go to Romans 1, Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Take note of that. The gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. He said he promised it afore, before now, by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. So, whatever we call the promise of God, or the promised action of God, or the promised act of God, will be found in the Old Testament. And particularly, he said the prophets. I want you to take note of that, of the term prophets. Romans 16, 25. I mean, Paul opened this letter by talking about the promise made in the Old Testament. And then he closes this letter in verse 25 of chapter 16 to show there's a synergy in how he started and how he ended. Verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So he opened up by starting with the gospel, Romans 1:1. Then he says, my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest by the scriptures of who? The prophets. Are you following this? The scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. For the obedience of faith. Now, observe how he couches these words. He says, according, okay, which is to mean in, you can say among. When you say according there, it's not following a pattern. It's actually saying it is among the prophets, or the prophets, or the scriptures of the prophets, Romans 16:25. You find it, 25, yeah. According to my gospel, or found in my gospel, pardon me, it is. Then he says in 26, now it's made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, okay? He calls it according to the commandment of the everlasting God. The word commandment there has to do with an arrangement or a structure. It's not like you give an instruction, not the word, it's the word epitage, E-P-I-T-A-G-E, It's like an arrangement that was made or an order. To order something, to put something in order. You find that in 1 Corinthians 7:6 and 1 Corinthians 7:25 by Paul. 1 Corinthians 7:6 and 1 Corinthians 7:6 and 1 Corinthians 7:25. Then 2 Corinthians 8:8. But most importantly, what is very similar, 1 Timothy 1:1, then Titus 1:3. 1 Timothy 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ our hope, by the order, okay, the order of our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. In Titus 1:3, I'll start from 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, which cannot lie, promised before the world began, but that in this due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Through preaching, according to the commandment. This is very similar to what he said, that is, this is the way he arranged it. This is how he arranged it. This is how he put it in place, according to what he had put in place. So he's not talking about a commandment to obey, rather something he has set in order. So in other words, the epistles were set in order by the Old Testament promise. The epistles are focused or are based on the promise of the Old Testament, or found in the Old Testament. And so that word epitaph is also used for structure, arrangement, and authority. So that means, you can put it like this, that the epistles follow the pattern of what? The scriptures of the prophets. Follow the pattern of the scriptures of the prophets. He calls that commandment the gospel. So it's the gospel. So we refer to promises because they were found in the authority of the Old Testament. Like we always say, the Old Testament validates Christ, validates, of course, the apostolic work. The Old Testament validates it. Now again, get back to 2 Corinthians 1:20, which is so that means that the epistles were written concerning the promise. Okay? Is that clear? That's the essence of what we're saying. The epistles were written concerning the promise. That just follows the pattern. This shows the way the Bible is synced together. That is, this promise, or better still, this revelation, this promise is that singular line of the Bible, whether you are looking from Genesis, Malachi, and the book of Acts, and then the four gospels, and the epistles, you are referring to the same promise. Is that clear? Now, again, we said in verse 20, 2 Corinthians 1, that word is a singular word, which we looked at on the other time, and we said that what determines the plural is the context. I hope you remember that. Very good. So, which means the word epagelia is to make to happen. Okay. So, don't always imagine that every time you have the word promise, because of what he said, it doesn't mean I'm going to give you something. A promise, maybe I'm going to do something. It's not always defined that I'm going to give you something. So we're going to explore whether it's what God will give, or it's better explained as what God will do. So you see that. But by the time you notice how we explore it the other time, it was closer to what you will do than what you will give. But then let's proceed further. Verse 22: Who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit? Remember, we looked at that. It was sealed is a proof of ownership. Remember that? Strike this off. The proof of ownership. Right? That this is mine. Then, is that the word guarantee, or better still, the word earnest, is the word value. When you look at the value of something. We went to the Old Testament and saw that. So he called the promise, the seal, the Spirit. Are you there? Are you there? So the sealing, the promise, the guarantee, or the earnest, is the Spirit. Now, let's do something more. Again, in chapter 5, verse 5, he maintains the word in saying, now he that wrought us for the self same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, rabbon, of the Spirit. Okay? Now, so we have the Spirit. There, I explained to you that whenever you have the word the Spirit, that means there was a discussion before now that put the terminology on a particular personality or a thing, the Spirit. Now, in Ephesians, where we have the same thing, and this is where I need you to actually listen well. In Ephesians chapter 1, you know, translators have, sometimes you see things from translators, you know that this is actually an idea. You know, because if something doesn't have history, it means an idea. And we're going to see this short, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of what? Of what? So you see that this is just almost word for word of 2 Corinthians 1:22, right? Come on. Are we together here? Almost word for word. But something changes here. Please listen very well. It says you are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. If you observe, all right, the King James, if you use King James, you observe that there was a little bit of a shift. They put the only in the small letter. And then they put the Spirit in the capital letter. But the first thing we need to realize is that there was no use of capital letters when these letters were written. There was no use. So, the capital letters that you will find, and we're about to decapitalize some capital letters. You know, they were just ideas. You know, and the thought pattern of those who translated them, it doesn't take away the truth in there. But, you know, your mind can be addressed to something by the time you have capital letter, small letter, and all that. And I grew up, for example, I was taught to use God in the capital letter case, testing. That it is those who are not, when something is not God, then you now use small letter. It's a divine arrangement. You know, and then everybody says, okay, when you say, even till now, if I'm writing, God said, and I want to use the pronoun E, if I use small letter H, like sin on the dead. So I just change it quickly to H. It's just an idea that we people carry into our understanding of things. We need to know that God is in culture, so it makes no difference. But so we have this small letter, capital letter stuff that runs through. So notice the word that Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit of promise. Then Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, okay, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Day. So you say, Holy Spirit of God. There's no other place you'll find this combination, Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians 4:30, see that? The Holy Spirit of God. So, Definitely the writer of this book must have been giving us a foreknowledge somewhere, because he started in Ephesians 1:3, that's 4, where this was better discussed than 2 Corinthians. He says, blessed be God. Again, the writers played around words here. Sorry, the translators. Blessed be the God, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, a key word here, it says, blessed be God, that is, we praise God, or worthy of praise is God. Again, the term blessed has been twisted by many to mean empowered to prosper. I don't know whether you have ever heard that gospel before, or you preached it. It just looks more foolish as you put it in all the different explanations of scripture. It was just about the time someone mentioned that when you hear the word Christ is the anointed one and is anointed. So I engaged a guy, I think it was sometime 98 or 99, and I said, let's use that word, anointed one is anointed, everywhere we find the word Christ. As we were thrown into the mix, the guy was looking more, he was looking funny. I said, see, that does he apply here? I said, the anointed one and his anointing suffered for our sins. No, it doesn't. Yeah. We shall go to the deep to bring Christ and the anointed one and his anointing from the grave. He said, no, it doesn't make sense. I said, that's the reason why you mustn't use one singular understanding you have in Acts 10:38 for everywhere you see. Are you following what I'm saying? So when you find the word blessed, is the word eulogitos, E-U-L-O-G-E-T-O-S. And I just want us to look at an importance of this, because the moment you lose verse 3, you don't understand 13. You must understand 3 to understand 13. Blessed be, which is worthy of praise, is an adjective, alright? And then anytime you use that, value is involved. That is, it's a valuation. To say worthy of praise, God. You find that word in Mark 14:61, Luke 1:68. Mark 14:61, Luke 1:68, used for God. Romans 1:25, Romans 9:5, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 11:31, 1 Peter 1:3. I'll take it again. Mark 14:61, Luke 1:68. Run through that to see he's talking about God. Romans 1:25, Romans 9:5, 2 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 11:31, and 1 Peter 1:3. So when you see this value is involved, I value God. Okay, I value God. And when you say worthy of praise, that means it's worth it. Philogitos, it's worth our praise. Now, so again, it's an adjective. It's descriptive. That's why you notice he didn't say, Ephesians 1:3, he didn't say, blessed be. He says, blessed be God, worthy of praise. That is, I'm valuing him. So God is blessed. So when I say God is blessed, we are not talking about where he lives. Or the kind of heart. God is blessed means he is worthy of praise. He has value, he has worth, so that's what you mean. That's an adjective. So it says, who hath blessed us? Eulogio, which is now the activity, a verb. E-U-L-O-G-O, who has blessed us. So because it's the same thing, that is, one is adjective, the other one is a verb. So is as good as saying, God is worthy of praise, who has made us worthy of praise. It's like saying, we praise him, he praises us. We praise him who has praised us. Something like that. Do you understand? Okay. So he uses the same word, who has blessed us, which is the activity. Then he says, So the first one is an adjective. The second one is a noun. Sorry, is a verb. Who has blessed us with all or all spiritual blessings. Careless. Blessings. Because again, the word blessing here is a noun. So, a noun describes what? A place? A person? Right? A thing. So, that means who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing. So, we must describe an event or a person or a gift. So, who has blessed us with all blessings. Change the word spiritual blessings and put the word spiritual after the word blessing. So that means the blessedness is the spiritual. Who has blessed us with, put aside the word all, with the blessing. Are you there? Are you there? Blessing will now be what the noun, right? Come on. With the blessing of the Spirit. With the blessing of the Spirit. Who has blessed us with the blessing of the Spirit. That's what, when you say spiritual, you mean of the Spirit, or by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, pneumaticos, of the Spirit. Pay attention. So, let's look at that now. It's used for the gospel in Romans 15:29. Let's run through. Romans 15:29. I come in the fullness of the blessing. Singular of the gospel. Blessing of the gospel. Romans 16:18. Is it? For they as such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches. You think the Arab is good, simple. The word fair speech is there. Flattery, that is to praise. That's what he said. To praise. 1 Corinthians 10:16, the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. 2 Corinthians 9:5, you see that used for bounty. 2 Corinthians 9:5, in giving bounty. You see it twice. Bounty. 2 Corinthians 9:6, bountifully. He that sows bountifully. The noun. Hebrews 6:7. The blessing. Hebrews 12:17. To inherit the blessing. Hebrews 12:17. James 3:10. Hebrews 12:17. To inherit the blessing. I've put up Hebrews 6:7 already. James 3:10. Proceeds blessing and cursing. Okay. Then 1 Peter 3:9. 1 Peter 3:9. Points our blessing. 1 Peter 3:9. You can see Revelation 5:12. Just write that down. Revelation 5:12 and 13. And Revelation 7:12. Revelation 5:12 and 13. Revelation 7:12. So hold on now. Go back to Ephesians 1:3. So the blessedness or eulogia is not about plurality. It's actually a noun. That is, a noun that you know, doesn't have to do 2, 3, 4, 5 things. A noun, basically. Okay? So we say, blessed be God, who has blessed us with the blessedness of the Spirit. Before you start to count how many blessings there are, the blessedness of the Spirit. So, when I use all, which is P-A-S, past, P-A-S, my all will be in the blessedness of the Spirit. I'm going to find the all in the blessing. The all is not many blessings. The all is in the blessing. So, in the blessedness of the Spirit, I will find Ephesians 1:4. So, just like we've tracked the word promise to singular, can we leave the word blessing to singular? Huh? Okay. So, look at the blessedness, or what is in the blessedness, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, right? And then He goes on and on. Let's leave that out. Verse 3 again. Go back to verse 3. In heavenly places in Christ. Every time you use the word heavenly places, of course the word places is italicized. You will never see it repeated or used, whether it's here or in Ephesians 1:20, 21, and then Ephesians 2:6, Ephesians 3:10, Ephesians 6:12. What places is always italicized because it does not require the use of the word places. By using the word heavenly places, the translation makes you think that it's a planet, but it's not. Because the word here is heavenly. Heavenly. So, you add the word heavenly and leave it like that. Which is oparanos, E-P-O. Eporanios. Is never used for the planet. Never. And let's track this a little bit. Jesus used it in John 3:12 when He was speaking to Nicodemus. If we speak of, I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things, not a planet? 1 Corinthians 15 verse 40. 1 Corinthians 15 40. Talking about the body at the resurrection. The glory of the celestial. That word celestial, used twice there, is heavenly. Not celestial church. Heavenly. Verse 48. Say, are they that are heavenly, physical body now. Twice. 49, the same thing. We bear the image of the heavenly. So the word heavenly is descriptive. It's to talk about the quality of a thing. It's not a place. It's to describe the quality of something, not referring to a place. Of course, in Ephesians again, the same letter. Before we go to Ephesians, look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth. You observe what things is italicized. Of things in heaven. Again, the word is heavenly. of the heavenly, of the earthly, and under the earthly, or the earthly. And when you hear under the earthly, you are not referring to underground. That doesn't make any sense. Because even if you refer to hell, okay, the hell, then you can't call hell, which is the ages, you can't call it an earthly thing. Hell will have to be heavenly. I hope you understand that. It's under, that is, within the jurisdiction of the earth. That's what he's saying. You don't think that heaven, earth, and then when you dig down, 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 things there. No. Just descriptive again. Then 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, Paul. The heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory, preserved unto his heavenly kingdom, which he had called earlier, is appearing. Verse 8, is appearing. So when you see 18, you see verse 8, is appearing. Hebrews 3:1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. So he calls what we are partaking of as heavenly. That's salvation. Hebrews 6:4. We have tasted of the heavenly gift. Heavenly gift. Not that you have gone to heaven. Hebrews 8:5. The shadow of heavenly things. Hebrews 8:5. Hebrews 9:23. Patterns of things in heavens. Hebrews 9:23. Look at Hebrews 11:16. Let's read that one. But now the desire a better, that is an heavenly way for God, is not ashamed to be called their God, for you are prepared for them to see. Because you know that that refers to people. Hebrews 11:16. Hebrews 12:22. You are come unto Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And it refers to a people. And you have come. So it's not referring to a place. I hope we are right. I hope it is clear. So heavenly will be what? Descriptive. Is that? It's the contrast of earthly. So in other words, what you have in Hebrews 12:22 and 23 will be heavenly beings, which includes the man who is born again. So let's get back to Ephesians 2. So when you hear, we are seated together with Christ in the heavenly, your mind should not be in the planet. Is that clear? Is that clear? It's not a planet. It's not saying I'm here and I'm there. Don't say we don't need to walk towards heaven. We are there already. You say how? Explain. When we got born again, we went to heaven. All right, fine. So what are you doing here? Say, well, we are arranging ourselves. It's because of the term heavenly as a misconstrued. Okay? It simply means that, right, what we are referring to is not earthly. It doesn't mean it's not here. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Right. So Ephesians 2. So when you say of the Spirit, the blessedness of the Spirit in heavenlies, Is the heavenlies there for emphasis or another subject? Huh? Because you have used the word spiritual of the Spirit. So by applying heavenly, is it for emphasis or a different thing entirely? It's emphasis. Because you can't describe this spirit, which is pneuma, and then it is not heavenly. Do you understand what I'm saying? So its emphasis is, so the word heavenly there, just like saying our Lord and Savior. It's not like we're talking about something differently. Right? So this heavenly will be descriptive. Emphasis. Take that back. Now, look at the same Ephesians. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly. Far above all principalities and power, might, and everything that is named, nothing is over that should come. So, I know when I say far above, is he talking about far above in the sense of a height or far above in authority? Okay, so is it a geographical location or authority? So, that means the heavenly is not a location, it refers to what? Authority. Does it make sense? Huh? So Ephesians 2, the same thing. So can we say heavenly means non-material world? Huh? Can we use heavenly also for spiritual entities? Huh? Come on. Okay. So Ephesians 2:6 raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly in Christ. He has helped us in two things now. In heavenly, in Christ. So am I in Christ? I am in Christ. Where? In the heavenly. Okay? So that means our realities are spiritual and they are heavenly. Does it make sense now? Okay, good. So, chapter 3 verse 10. To the intent now, unto the principals and powers in heavenly, made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Now, this is, we are the church, and it's saying that we are making the wisdom of God known to the principalities in the heavenly. And we are doing it on earth. That already shows you that the word heavenly is not a planet. You see one more now. Ephesians 6:12. That you will know that the word heavenly is descriptive. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly. So, spiritual wickedness where? So, because he says they are not flesh and blood, he just told you what he meant. So, whenever we use heavenly, it means it is not flesh and blood. Does it make sense? Because we are not just describing the things of God now, in Ephesians 6:12, we are describing what opposes the gospel. And it says they are also heavenly. Is it clear? Is it clear? The word I there is the same word, eporanos, is the same word, heavenly. Okay. So, what best can you, if you are going to describe, if you are given the liberty to write a translation, what would you describe heavenly as? If you are given the liberty to say, okay, describe heavenly in your own terms. Who can give me something you will say? You will call it. What would you call it? Immaterial. Unseen. Do you agree with him? He said the unseen. Does it flow? So, it describes the unseen. So, can the unseen be present in the earth? Okay, so we can have the heavenly within the earth realm. Huh? Can we? Can we have the heavenly within the earth realm? Okay. Because you discover that all the activities we have described so far are in the earth. Well, they are, for lack of words, they are in the earth. For lack of words at this present time, then yeah. So get back to Ephesians. We're there. So the blessedness is what? The Spirit. Good. So Look at 17. God, Father of our Lord Jesus, God of our Jesus Christ, Father of glory, they give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Him. This is confusing. All you need to do is put the word spirit, or you put it like the wisdom of the spirit. Wisdom and revelation of the spirit. So it's not giving you a spirit. That will contradict everything you have read so far. How can you say in 3 that you were blessed with the spirit? 13, you are sealed with the spirit. You now say you are now giving the spirit. You are now praying for spirit. 17. Which spirit is that? That must be an evil spirit. Another spirit. So it's wisdom of the spirit. Because he had already told you that he had abounded unto us in all wisdom and prudence in 8 before 17. So let's track this writer. 14 or 13, you are sealed with that Holy Spirit. So when I say that Holy Spirit of promise, I already told you. You are blessed with the Spirit. So that will refer your mind to 3. Are you together? Are we together here? Okay. So the wisdom of the Spirit, same Spirit, in 17. So Ephesians 2 now refers to another Spirit. But the Spirit, verse 2, that works in the children of disobedience. 18. Through Him, that Jesus, we both have access by what? One Spirit unto the Father. The word access will be explained shortly. We have access by one Spirit through, now 22, in whom you also are builded for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So that means everything that was done in can be said through what? Huh? Through the Spirit. So we have access by one Spirit. Through the Spirit. Ephesians 3:5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Same Spirit. 3:16. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his spirit in the inner man. His spirit. Ephesians 4:3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. Ephesians 4:23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Different. Now, look at 24. And as you put on the new man, mark it, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness. Ephesians 4:30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You are sealed unto the day of redemption. We explain this verse shortly. Maybe not today, but. Okay, so don't lose focus now. So when I say the Holy Spirit of God, am I describing something else, or I'm saying the same thing? Huh? Don't lose your focus. Are we saying the same thing? So everything we have discussed so far is from Ephesians 1:3. Have you observed it? Huh? Okay. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Same Spirit speaking. Be filled speaking. I skipped something. Ephesians 5, 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Actually, it's supposed to be the fruit of light. That's the right translation. So he calls light the Spirit. Ephesians 6, 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6, 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Take note of something. That as we proceeded further, when we got to 4, then 5 and 6, that the activities of the believer were called the activities of the Spirit. Did you notice that? Did you see that? Did you observe that? From chapter 1 to 3, the focus was on what was given. Okay? Almost like, this is what God has done, the Spirit. This is what God has given, the Spirit. Then, that is the focus. But from chapter 4, it now turns to what we do. So take note of that. Now, drop your pen and listen to this. I know there's religious minds, because we are going to take it off now. It says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed who? Us. With what? The blessedness of what? Good. So what is the blessedness? Huh? What is worthy of praise? Okay. In the heavenlies where? In Christ. Now I want to ask you a question. What is it? What is in Christ or who is in Christ? Huh? Let me see what it is. Is it about what is in Christ or who is in Christ? Huh? Okay. So, if I'm describing the Spirit in Christ, and I'm not talking about any particular person, I'm not talking about the man. Okay? So that means that what is found in Christ is not a person. It's an activity. But if I see the Spirit that I've said so far as descriptive of the man in Christ, then I understand what he has been saying. For example, when he started in verse 4, he says that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Then the moment, so in Ephesians 1, who is holy? Who is holy in Ephesians 1 4? God, the believer. So, go to 13. That Holy Spirit, or that Holy Spirit of promise will be, just calm down. The problem is the word Holy Spirit. Okay? So every time we say Holy Spirit, your mind goes elsewhere. But now, cool down. Cool down. Who was made holy in 1:4? Ephesians 1:4. Huh? That blessedness is where? See, we have come this far. That blessedness is where? In the Spirit. Which Spirit? the Spirit of God. So if the blessedness is in the Spirit of God, then you cannot call the believer blessed. You say, blessed be God, who is blessed? No, but who has blessed us? I know the challenge you have, because when we say we are Holy Spirit, your mind goes to someone else or something else. We'll see whether it is true. So let's look at where we started from. We said the Spirit will be the proof, right, of ownership. Are we forgetting that? Huh? So, the value will be the Spirit. Right?
Good. Very good. So, let's now know who the Holy Spirit is.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The Holy Spirit.
Somebody said, well, what's the difference between Holy Spirit and Holy Ghost? Holy Ghost is a higher level. Imagine what the translation have done to your mind. Holy Ghost is a higher level of Holy Spirit. Now when he's Spirit, it is Spirit. When he's Ghost, everywhere you have the Ghost from Matthew to Revelation is the same word Spirit. I find it uninteresting why Ghost was used suddenly. Well, I found out why, you know, I tried to find out why they were changing Spirit and Ghost. It was a little bit funny, but no, let's discuss it here. But the word Ghost is always used, is always the word pneuma. N-P-N-E-U-M-A, except on a few occasions. Mark 15:37. Mark 15:37. He gave up the ghost. That's Jesus. Then verse 39. Gave up the ghost. Luke 23:46. They thought. Luke 23:46. He gave up the ghost. Yet he said, unto your hands I commit my pneuma. And he used the word he gave up the ghost. Acts 5:5 and Acts 5:10. Courtesy of Peter, Ananias and Sapphira. They gave up the ghost. Is the word ekpneo, E-K-P-N-E-U-O. It means to expire. E-K-P-N-E-U-O. The word P-N-E-U-O is used for the Spirit is out. When you say the Spirit is out, to breathe out. However, it's different in Acts 5:5-10. Acts 5:5-10. That is another Zacharias case. A different word is used than if you are a student of the Bible, this is not going to be difficult for you. Is ek, that's ek, ek means out. P-U-S-C-H-O. When you have suche, that's life. So you just say, life is out of the person. So it can be the same thing as Spirit is out. So it's the same thing. Okay. So basically, it's just so that the person has given up life. So it's not different. It's still, we are still talking about the Spirit. So like I mentioned, you have the word ghost used 91 times after this, outside this, and it's the word Spirit. So the first thing is, remove the word ghost from your mind. In fact, how it entered the Bible is ghostly on its own. But let's allow it. The Holy Ghost. And we will say, the Holy Ghost. Some of us are used to it. I say it. I'm able to say it again today. Some things die hard. Holy Ghost. That guy is ghostly. That means he's spooky. Is the word Spirit. We'll leave out the book of Acts for now and the four Gospels. We'll do that tomorrow morning. But let's examine, you know, where you have the word ghost again used. Romans 5:5. The Holy Ghost given to us. Holy Spirit. Romans 9:1. My conscience bear me witness in the Holy Spirit. Just be changing it to Spirit. Romans 14:17, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Then Romans 15:13, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13 and Romans 15:16, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13 is very instructive. I will open to it and ask us to check it later. I might delve into it today or not. For 1 Corinthians 2:13. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, verse 12, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, with things also we speak, not in the world which man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Notice that he says, which we teach. And then he says, the Holy Spirit teaches. Is very important to our explanation. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Did I say that? Oh, no. 3:16. The Spirit of God dwells in you. That's 6:19. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine? You have said Spirit of God in 3:17. Now the Holy Ghost in 6:19. The same thing. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Look at the play of words. I give it to understand, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus Christ. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Was there a need for that? Because they don't want to say ghost of God. Yeah, Spirit of God. Yeah, it's the Spirit of God, the ghost of God. 2 Corinthians 6:6. And 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. Quickly see this. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 4:30. We're tracking the word pneuma. Ephesians 4:30. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. 2 Timothy 1:14. I'll take that again. Ephesians 1:13. Ephesians 4:30. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. 2 Timothy 1:14. Let's look at that one. That one is interesting. The good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. which dwells in us. Keep by the Holy Ghost. You keep by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy 1:14. You do it by the Holy Ghost. So the activity of Timothy is called the Holy Ghost. Titus 3:5. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 2:4. Signs, wonders, divers miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 3:7. Wherefore the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. You have the Holy Ghost, his voice. Mark that though. Hebrews 6:4. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. Partakers of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 9:8. The Holy Ghost is signifying the way into the holiest of all. Hebrews 10:15. The Holy Ghost is a witness to us after that he has said before. The Holy Ghost is a witness. Again, the word Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:12. Unto whom it was revealed not unto themselves, but unto what the living are the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things do the angels desire to look into. 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Jude 20. Build up yourselves on the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Except you are not observing, the activities of man was called the Holy Ghost. Just observe that. When I say man, who is an invited comer, was called the Holy Ghost. Now something is structured. You know, we want to unbundle the word Holy Spirit and take away mysticism out of the statement. Now, notice this. First and foremost, now, if you observe, and I explained this many times, and I'm going to buy it again. In Matthew 28, when Jesus said, all authority is given me in heaven and earth, then he says, go ye therefore, okay, teach all nations, and he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Does it not get to our attention that that statement is totally out of place? It's not found anywhere where there was an attempt to put something similar to the 1 John 5:7, apart from the fact that it doesn't sing. There are three that bear witness in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Grammatically, it doesn't make sense. Because when you read 6 and read 8, you say, what's that 7 doing there? Apart from the fact that it's not an original statement. So, besides that, you will not find anywhere, like I said, Matthew 28, which is disputable because none of the things Jesus said in all the other synoptics is similar to that. And you will not find the name of the Holy Ghost anywhere in the Old Testament. In the law, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning him. You won't find it in the four Gospels. You won't find it in the book of Acts. The epistles is the clearest. Look at me. Please listen very well, though. Don't say, if pastor say there's no Trinity, there's Trinity. I believe in Trinity. Maybe not the Trinity you think. But I believe in the Father, I believe in the Son, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. I do. But now listen very well to this. Look at the opening statements of Paul and his instruction. Look at Romans. Romans 1, verse 7. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he says. 1 Corinthians 1, 3. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Galatians 1, 3. Grace and peace, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1, 2. Are you noticing a similarity? Are you seeing a consistency? Okay. Ephesians 1, 2. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 1, 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1, 2. Just notice the opening statements. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's Colossians 1. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2. Okay, 1, sorry. Which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Second Thessalonians 1. Oh, I hope you know he's not sending them greetings from God. But God send them to greet. No. Okay. Alright, so say, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So, that means that the opening statement will be what? Assurance of relationship? Huh? Come on. Is that what it is? Okay. First Timothy, have I read? Tell us, let's 1, 2. Yep. First Timothy 1, 1. The commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. From God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Timothy 1, 2. From God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Titus 1, 4. God the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Titus 1, 4. Philemon 3. Peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So what, those opening statements emphasize what we have received of God. Is that right? Right? I'm asking a question? Very good. Hebrews 1, shaky. Hebrews 1, 2. As in this last day spoken unto us by his Son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Not much emphasis there. James 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. From the Father of lights. Now, 1 Peter 1. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through the sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience, notice this, and speaking of the Lord of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1. Like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. 1 John 1:3. If I let me start from 1:1. Which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:1. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:23. That's important. This one's very vital. Let's start from 22 anyway. Who is a liar? For he that denies that Jesus is the Christ is Antichrist. So don't wait for somebody who is going to wear horn. Now, who is this person that denies the Father and the Son? Whoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father. And he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. This, the italicized portion here is actually original. It is not the same way every other thing is italicized. It's just put there, you know, as a doubt. But it's actually original. 1 John 2:23. 2 John 3. Grace with you, mercy, peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Jude 1. Sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Revelation 1:5. From Jesus Christ to the faithful witness, and called the Godhead of the dead, and prince of the kings of the earth, unto whom that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to whom be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Alright. Any observations so far? Who has made any observations? One is consistent. What's also consistent? What's also consistent? Our Lord Jesus Christ. They are still coming on. What else is consistent? He said the Spirit is not mentioned. That's what he said. He said it. He just said there is no Spirit of God. You know, that's how people can conclude though. Yeah. So far, what do we have? The Father and the Son. Or the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Yeah. So, but in those letters, in the same letters, was there a mention of the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God? But why was it not put together with Father and Son? Why? That's not nice. It's not nice. Because in all those letters, we have Spirit of God in the letter. But no writer said Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Have you observed that? Not one single person said it. Why? See, this is something. It's cause for concern. Maybe we should pray about it. So make that observation, we'll come back to it. Praise God. Is there Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? Of course. Did you not read Holy Spirit so far? Forget ghost. So that means we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay, is Holy Spirit different from Spirit of God? You may have a point. Okay, let's look at the word holy. This is Saints Community Church. So when we say holy, I believe your mind doesn't go elsewhere. You know, really, it takes a lot for the mind to be removed, particularly if it has been somewhere for long. Some things can be somewhere for long. There are people that, even up to today, if they want to pray, they cover their head unconsciously. I was praying some first prayer, and they said, "Sir, praise God, praise God." I said like this. One person was coming, and I said, "This thing is not fully covered. Those who wear hats, you are not. If you really want to cover your head, the people that know it, they are in deeper life. Those are people that cover their head. What is one that we do in this Pentecostal? You see, fine. You have put something there. You have not covered. It is called, is it perimbolene? Is that the word? Akatakalupe. Before God. That was the first Greek word I knew in my life. Have I told you before? that was the first Greek word I knew in my life. It was in 1989. So God said, some brethren are spoiling the church. It is akatakaluto. I don't like the word. I've never forgotten. I didn't know the meaning. But you say, when you don't cover your head, it is called akatakaluto. That was the first big word. You know? So something can be in your mind. And it's just there. And God, you are not renewing your mind. I know you are, some of you are already feeling guilty over Holy Spirit. Relax. We are not denying the Holy Spirit. We are only explaining. But you have seen something. You say, Pastor has been teaching well, no? Pastor, don't get into a controversial matter. Look at you. Go down. Amen. I'm not even going to explain Trinity. That's the thing. I believe in Trinity. But we'll explain that in years to come. But cool down. We want to look at Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit? Or who is the Holy Spirit? You will fall into a problem of generalization. Because as a student of the Bible, you must not generalize the use of the word, which you are about to see. Again, the word holy means different, right? Right? Separate, consecrated, special, or apart. So, when I say apart, when I say holy, it means holy from. It's agios. If I pick a wristwatch, I have 10 wristwatches, and I take one that I use only on Sundays. Some of you are like that. You are still like that. You have Sunday. If you are in the body house, you know you have Sunday wear. Okay? I think it's Sunday that you allow us to dress differently to chapel. Yeah, I think so. You have all sorts of people now put on their best. And you now see difference between good, better, best. Some are arguing me, I never rest. But there is what you wear. There's one guy that was on the one day. I think you almost chase him out of the chapel. So holy means different, separate, okay? That means when I say holy, it means apart from others. Okay, good. So apart from others. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are what? Sanctified. Very good. Which means they were made holy. 1 Corinthians 1:30 now says, Christ has been made unto us holiness, sanctification, the same word, which is a noun. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 6. But before we get there, 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 10. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but the Spirit of God. I want us to read verse 12 together. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at 13 closely. With things also we speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So then we have received. Okay. Now, look at 6:11. Such were some of you, but you are washed, and you are sanctified. Who is sanctified? The believer, right? You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Okay? So, we are sanctified, right? We are made holy. There are two words being played around. The word agiazo is the verb, and the word agiasmos is the noun. So, they're just saying the same thing. Now, look at 6:19, and closely so. Let's slowly read 6:19. Into 20. Let's go. What? Know ye not? Let's go now. Let's go. Okay, let's go. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Remove the word ghost. Go on. Which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Now slowly read 20. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Okay? So, in your spirit, which is of God, right? So, would we say your spirit there is of God? So, can we say the Spirit of God? Huh? Is your spirit sanctified? Huh? Let me start again. Is your spirit of God? Is it sanctified? Yeah. So is it the Spirit of God? Yeah, no. That's what he said. He just said no. So, what makes your body holy is your spirit. Is that right? Huh? Which is of God. Let's read that 20 again. You are bought with a price, is referring to your physical body. Therefore, glorify God in your body. How? How is God in your body? Your spirit, which is of God. Don't forget that. So, if I say, Holy Spirit, I can refer to what? I can refer to the man who is born again. Because all I'm saying is that this is a different, separated spirit from mankind. Huh? It is the work of God. It is done by God. Is that clear? But I'm actually referring to the believer. Is that correct? Is that correct? So when I say Holy Spirit, I mean Holy Spirit, or let's say different spirit, or special spirit, or separate spirit, apart from the unbeliever. Does it make sense? Uh-huh. Because if I say the unbeliever also is a spiritual entity, and we read it earlier, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So, but for the man who is born again, he has been declared holy. So, the spirit of the man born again is holy. Right? When I say holy, what does it mean? separate and different from the man who is not born again. Is it clear? Okay. So if I read Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians, I must look at it in context. Huh? Are you making sense here? I must say, what's he talking about? So ignore all this capital letter thing. It's not, please ignore it. Just look at it closely and say, what is he talking about? So look at Ephesians. Now, when he opened 1 Corinthians, he declared the church sanctified, made holy. So in reading further and you read about the Holy Spirit, you mustn't have one straight definition for that. Because he opened up to call the church sanctified. Are we together here? Now see this. Ephesians 1:3 again. Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? We explain that to say, blessed be God, who has blessed us with the blessing, the Spirit. Where is the Spirit? In the non-material. Somebody says something here. In the unseen. Where? In Christ. So that means the Spirit is what we have found in Christ. Now, look at this. Ephesians 4. That you put on, verse 24, the new man, which after God is created, or like God, in righteousness and true holiness. So, that means the new man is created like who? Like who? In righteousness and what? True holiness. Now, the word holiness here is a bit different. It's different from agios. It's the word hoisotes. H-O-S-I-O-S-E-S. It means to be devoted. It's used once in Luke 1:75. In holiness and righteousness before Him all the days of our life. In devotion. So use for devotion. And it's also used to describe God. Acts 2:27. Let's quickly watch that. Oh, sorry. I want to explain a similar word because that word just twice. Luke 1:75 is the only time. That a similar word, which is a synonym of that word, is poisios, H-O-S-I-O-S, Acts 2:27. Neither will thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption, your holy one. Acts 13:35, that was a mistake. Thou shalt not suffer thy holy one, the same thing, to see corruption. 1 Timothy 2:8. So it's for what God has sanctioned. What He has sanctioned. 1 Timothy 2:8. Holy hands without wrath and doubt. 1 Timothy 2:8. Titus 1:8. Holy, temperate, just, devoted. Hebrews 7:26. Talking about Jesus. So the high priest became of us, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Hebrews 7:26. So it's what deserves respect. So it's a shade of the word agiazo, agiasmos, It means, please look at this. It means that which God has sanctioned. Treated with respect, which is devoted, separate again, and consecrated. So Ephesians 4:24 says that the new man is after God. In righteousness, is like God. In righteousness and true holiness. That's the new man. So, by the time you read verse 30, and you hear, that's Ephesians 4, and you read, verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit of God will be the born again human spirit in that context. The born again human spirit. Just like what you say, the Holy Spirit upon me. That's the born again human spirit. Like we said, it's not that every time you see Holy Spirit is referring to the same thing. No. But you must read what he's saying to understand it. So, when you see the Holy Spirit of God, it depends on the context which he said. In Ephesians 4, obviously, it's the born again human spirit. Because that is what he referred to as the workmanship of God created in Christ Jesus with good work. In chapter 2 verse 10. And that workmanship of God is non-material. It's unseen. It's of the Spirit. Are we together here? Look at another place. Look at Romans 8. And verse 11. I'll start from 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Notice what he said. The Spirit of life in Christ. So, in verse 9, you are not in the flesh but in the Spirit. Romans 8. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of this. Notice the play of words now. Not the play of words, the use of words, sorry for that. He says the Spirit of God, then he says the Spirit of Christ. Then in 10, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit life because of righteousness. Then look at 11. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. He just called it the Spirit of Christ. They say raised Jesus from the dead. Dwells in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead. It's not interesting to say that the Spirit of Christ raised Christ from the dead. Are you following me? It's changing the pronoun and just go through. Quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit. So, are we still discussing the same Spirit? In verse 2, is that the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Okay. In verse 9, is that the Spirit? Is that the Spirit of God? Is that the Spirit of Christ? Okay. Is that Christ in you? In 10. Is the Spirit life? Okay. Is that the Spirit of him? In verse 11. Okay. So look at 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Of course, led will mean what? Taken from the flesh. Right? They are the sons of God. Now 15. Pay attention here. Let's take 15 together. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received what? Thereby we cry. So, the spirit of adoption, is that the spirit of Christ? Is that the spirit of God? Okay? Yet he says, the spirit of God now says, Abba Father. Are you following this? Is that the spirit of God? Okay. So when you say the spirit of adoption, that's the spirit of sons. Is that the spirit of sons? So is the spirit of sons the spirit of God? You are backsliding. Is the spirit of sons the spirit of God? Is the spirit of sons the spirit of Christ? Okay? Is the spirit of Christ the spirit of Him? Is the spirit of Him the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Let's go right again. Is the spirit of God the spirit of Christ? Is the spirit of Christ the spirit of God? I'm making it up there. Is the spirit of God the spirit of Him? Huh? Very good. So, is the spirit of Him the spirit of adoption? Is the spirit of adoption the same as the spirit of sons? We are doing fine? Are we doing fine? So, verse 16. The spirit itself bears witness with what? That we are what? What do you mean bear witness? Is the word somaturio, S-U-M-M-A-T-E-R-U-O. It means to have a joint witness. To say that we are the same. You find that word in Romans 2:15. Bearing witness. Their conscience bearing witness of the law. Like what is in the law says in their heart. Romans 2:15. Romans 9:1. My conscience bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I mean, what is in my conscience is found in the Holy Ghost. So when you say bears witness with, is that you are saying the same thing. So, is the believer's spirit the spirit of God? That's where we're going. Huh? From Romans 8, is the believer's spirit the spirit of God? Is that the spirit of Christ? Is that the spirit of adoption? Is that the spirit of Him? Is that the spirit of life in Christ Jesus? So, in Romans 8, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of God. Huh? So, the believer is holy. Right? The believer's spirit is holy. Holy Spirit of God. Is my spirit the Holy Spirit of God? Amen? Is my spirit the Holy Spirit of God? So when you see Holy Spirit of promise, you should backtrack a bit and say, who is he talking about? Is he referring to God or the man who is born again?